This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Bobby Rydell, who Big Ed informs me passed away yesterday. I wonder how old he was, Ed, you know? Well, we'll look into it. That's all right. But Bobby Rydell was a big-time singer in the 50s and 60s. Bobby Sox loved him. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. And along with Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us. It is Wednesday, April the 6th. And we got a lot going on. We are going to be talking in a few minutes with Dustin Carmack of the Heritage Foundation on what we should do with Vladimir Putin after Ukraine. 79 years old. Interesting. Okay, Bobby Rydell was 79, now that we know that. That's not that old. Not that old at all. But in the meantime, Dustin Carmack of the Heritage Foundation will be talking with us about Vlad Putin. And his future, you might say, after Ukraine. And the Miami Herald is going after Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. What else is new? They always go after him. They hate him. But this time, because of his association with the Babylon Bee, it is a satirical conservative website, apparently. And they're all upset that he has some sort of endorsement of that website. We're going to talk about it and some other things with the proprietor of the Barber Poll a little bit later in the show, Andrew Ceresi. So stay tuned for that. And Oklahoma votes to ban all abortions except in the life of a mother. Not only ban all the abortions, toss doctors into prison for up to 10 years. Who perform abortions in that state. Now, here is the question. Is that going to survive? That would be the most restrictive law in the country. We're going to take a look. And in our ultimate top 10, we have got a good one. The top 10 presidents with the highest IQs. Let's see if Ed knows who is number one. So stay tuned for that. By the way, Freedom Works. We are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Guys, I keep saying this. You can search far and wide. You'll never find a better place to get a haircut. Never. Than Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. If you live in Tampa Bay, it's worth the trip from no matter where you're coming. First of all, it's a delightful place. Second of all, the price cannot be beat. Third of all, it's a great haircut. What more can you ask? They're located in the Overcash Plaza. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580 Main Street in Dunedin. Call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. All right. So, as usual, a lot going on. Vladimir Zelensky, the president of the Ukraine, is becoming perhaps the most visible human being on the planet. He addressed the United Nations. He accused Russia of gruesome atrocities in the Ukraine, shooting people in the backs of the heads, raping women, cutting tongues out of people, burying them in mass graves. They showed pictures of it. It's really pretty awful. He told the UN Security Council yesterday that those responsible should immediately be brought up on war crimes. You know, what is the United Nations other than sitting around? I'm sure those guys get wonderful salaries and a great place to live in New York. You know, these permanent members of the United Nations. What do they do? What have they accomplished? They vote on this, that, and the other thing, but what have they really done? Have they done anything?
They hand us the bill.
Exactly. Donald Trump talked about that, by the way, the cost of the United Nations, wasting of taxpayer money. He talked about the that organization overseas too that we belong to, that countries like Germany not paying their fair share. You know, all of that stuff is coming back to look pretty good from what he was saying. Anyway, Zelensky shows these grisly images of what appears to be intentional killings of civilians carried out by Russian forces in different towns. You know, they murdered the entire family of a mayor of a city there. It was just despicable. I don't know how Putin survives this after it's all over. That's one thing we're going to talk about in a few minutes. But he's got to be the most condemned man on the world stage right now. Zelensky was speaking via a video from the Ukraine. You know, he hasn't left his post. He said civilians had been tortured, shot in the back of the head, thrown down wells, blown up with grenades in their apartments, crushed to death by tanks, cut off limbs, cut their throats, women killed in front of their children. I mean, what goes on that anybody that would do that, you know? What excuse do you have to do that when you come into, when you're fighting and you're a soldier? What kind of an excuse do you have? Do you have that much hate for humanity that you have to hate human beings to do something like that? I think it always comes to bad. People that do that hate themselves. They're always good fodder for a psychiatrist, but I think they hate themselves. Anyway, it's horrible. It's just horrible what they are doing. Now, what are we going to do? What is Biden going to do? Other than we talk about things, we seem to be afraid to do anything concrete. And the pressure on the Biden administration to do something other than these little hand slaps is becoming bigger and bigger. So who knows? But anyway, Zelensky is making quite a case for some sort of an intervention in the Ukraine. I mean, you see these pictures every day of what is going on. I don't know if Putin had it to do over again, whether he would have done this based on how things are going. And he can't seem to capture Kyiv, the capital city of the Ukraine. Remember, they were saying that that could be captured in a couple of days? Even our Secretary of Defense, Milli Vanilli, or whatever his name is, Milli, he said they'd probably capture a Kyiv in 2 days or something like that. Well, they haven't been able to capture it at all.
Imagine what the Russian people think of this.
Yeah. Well, first of all, do they even get that?
That's the thing. Yeah, they probably showed images of people put in flowered trucks and hauled off with a good meal to somewhere else.
Yeah, you can't believe whatever they're saying about it.
But they have internet.
Exactly.
It's not like North Korea. I mean, when it's totally shut down. I mean, it's probably restricted. I know their TV is well restricted, but then there's the internet.
Yeah, I think that the truth is getting out to most of the Russians. I think it is.
They got to be disgusted. At some point, they got to throw their arms up and say, hey, listen, this is not us.
And do you know how many deserters there are from the Russian armies? They've been talking about that as well.
I haven't seen any of it, but they've talked about it.
They talk about the fact that a lot of them are... I don't blame them. Hell, if I got away from Moscow and got into another country, I think I would throw my rifle away and raise my hands and say, come and get me.
Yeah.
Anyway, let us take our break. And what are we going to do with Putin? You know, once this Ukrainian war hopefully will be over, we're going to talk with Dustin Carmack of the Heritage Foundation about exactly what's the long-term situation with him.
I can see clearly now the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back. By the way, Bobby Rydell died of, apparently he had pneumonia. And I don't know how he got that, but from what I can see, he was 79, like you said, and dying much too young. He was in Bye Bye Birdie, Bobby Rydell. We are delighted to have Dustin Carmack join us. He is a research fellow in technology policy at the Heritage Foundation. We're going to talk a little bit about what the long-term strategy is with Vladimir Putin after Ukraine. I wonder if his prospects are very good. Dustin, welcome to Freedom Works.
Hey, thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure. You know, I think a lot of people are wondering the same thing. What's going to happen to Vladimir Putin? Now, the guy seems to be the most unreachable, untouchable human being on the planet. He surrounds himself, I'm sure, with the greatest of security. He seems to be almost paranoid about everything. He seems to be a very unsociable person, you know, from what I can see. But what do you think? What's going to happen? Let's say we finally end this Ukraine war. What's going on with Putin, do you think?
Well, I mean, the recent constitutional changes that they made in Russia, you know, essentially puts him in office until the mid-2030s. So barring a health condition or something else that would remove him from power, I think, you know, the United States has to prepare for the long ride that he's going to be in the position and power to continue causing havoc, minimum in Europe, but, you know, elsewhere in the world.
Do you really think, though, he's going to last that long? I mean, the world condemnation of this guy and the demand that he be tried for war crimes, I just wonder. I mean, I know he's, you know, cementing himself away from people there, but you would think there'll be a lot of people after his hide, sort of like Osama bin Laden.
You know, that's going to be the curious thing to me and a lot of others is what's the reaction in the long run from the Russian people. There's been, you know, brewing up of protests, and, you know, of course, there's folks like Alexei Navalny that he just jails for another 8 years, essentially trying to kind of keep him in jail until, you know, he's no longer in office. But as these sanctions kind of bite, and if, you know, the question will be, does the Western world kind of have the resolve, including the Europeans, to get them off the hook of Russian gas and oil and the exports that they receive from Russia in the long run? Can they wean them off? Because that, at the end of the day, it's going to come down to the Russian people causing a change of the Russian leadership, in my opinion. I can't speak to if Putin is going to be around,
of course,
until 2036, but I think, you know, you mentioned just, you know, his propensity to be, you know, hole himself up in a cave to essentially keep himself away from COVID. He has become more secluded, and so the question will be, are those kind of immediate people around him, the military leadership, those advisors, I mean, is there any kind of cracks in that architecture?
Sure. Now, your colleague James Carafano wrote a piece in the Heritage Foundation website, What's the Long-Term Strategy Against Putin and Russia? And he talks a little bit about the relationship, of course, between China and Russia. The fact that they're kind of intertwined. It does seem like, for whatever reason, and there are a bunch of them, that Putin is being drawn closer and closer, I guess, with the situation with energy and everything else going on and the boycotting of oil from Russia. It has tended to slide Russia closer to China. That's not a good thing either. But maybe, you know, the fact that China seems to be covering one of his flanks, do you think that that would preserve Putin a little bit more?
Well, you know, absolutely economically. I mean, if they kind of, you know, find ways to depend on each other. I mean, there's other economies that are very dependent on either Russian military technology. You look at India as a good example there. But China could definitely do, you know, bidding to supplant and take, you know, either Russian oil and gas. And then they've kind of had a frenemy relationship for a long time. But, you know, now they've got this relationship that is underlying goal is to break kind of the Western U.S.-led post-World War II world. And if you look at really outside of maybe a few countries other than the NATO, rest of the world has kind of generally, at least publicly, stayed neutral into the reaction to this horrific war in Ukraine. And so in the end, that kind of goal actually is what Beijing wants. They want, you know, essentially to kind of break down that nexus that the U.S. Won't lead on an issue and try to rally, you know, the world against actions such as what's happening there. And this definitely plays into the hands of Xi when he looks at in the long term of his desire to reunite Taiwan, more than likely by force.
Right. In fact, Carafano does say, make no mistake, no matter how the Ukraine war ends, Russia will still be Beijing's stalking horse in Europe. You know, remain a dangerous threat to the transatlantic community. So it doesn't seem that, at least from what we're reading, it doesn't seem like this war is going the way Russia had intended. They couldn't slip into the country and take it over like maybe they kind of thought they might. And the atrocities that we're now hearing about is just, you know, capturing the attention of the world. I wonder in the long run, if Putin had to do this over again, if he would have maybe balked at trying to do this the way he did. Do you have any thought on that at all?
Yes and no. I think at the end of the day, he wanted to do this no matter what. I mean, this is part of his long-term legacy. I think he is a person who has entwined himself in a perverse view of history. And, you know, it's been well written about his thoughts on the demise of the Soviet Union. And I think this, you know, architecture against the West that he wants to really rally against and then build this kind of buffer zone and feels like he's always under threat from NATO. Which is a defensive, you know, compact. And so I just, you know, where this goes from here, though, from a tactical standpoint, you know, they're definitely the withdrawal of forces from Kyiv showed that he just got blistered there. And really the question comes to, you know, if he devotes all these resources down to that eastern region of Ukraine and along the seaboard there and trying to kind of really solidify gains or further gains near like Mariupol and then try to that land bridge to Crimea, you know, really at the end of the day, he's trying to either put himself in the best position to create a constant thorn in Ukraine's side or really never let them have any kind of, you know, original sovereign lines again, especially in that eastern side of Ukraine.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be tough. It's going to be a long, I think this war is going to continue for some time.
Yeah. They don't seem to know how to handle Ukraine. Even if they can, you know, overwhelm people there and do what they're doing, they can't seem to be able to control it or keep it. It's too big. And they don't seem to have the manpower to be able to just, you know, run the whole country. When all of the people, after what they have done to these people, they're not going to toe the line. In fact, the United Nations is set to vote tomorrow, apparently, on suspending Russia from the Human Rights Council. I mean, this is all of these things. I wonder if Putin really thought this out. He's becoming a pariah.
Yeah, well, the UN Human Rights Council has been a joke for a long time. I mean, there's been countries such as Libya, and I mean, just you count the number of countries on there that literally commit human rights violations every single day, yet are part of an international body that, you know, really doesn't do anything holistically, in my opinion, to combat that. And yeah, like you said, I think there was an intelligence view that, at least in the possibly portions of Ukraine, especially in the more Russian-speaking population areas, that they would be welcomed. And that clearly is not the case. I think what happened in 2014 started galvanizing a lot of Ukrainians that, although they may be sympathetic to, you know, brethren that are back in Russia in a native tongue, that is not what they want, and that they wanted actually a relationship with the European Union. They wanted to democratize, you know, their economy further, and remove corruption. And that's not the way the architecture of Vladimir Putin's Russia is. And so that's going to be a constant battle for them, regardless of the military strategy.
We're talking with Dustin Carmack. He's a research fellow in technology policy at the Heritage Foundation. And we're talking about the long-term strategy against Putin and Russia after Ukraine. What do you think the Biden administration, they're not coming, I mean, they've done a few things, but it just seems, I don't think anybody thinks that they've taken a really aggressive attitude towards trying to stop this war. They seem to be almost timid.
Yeah, I think a lot of it at times is almost like a bumper sticker kind of slogan of rallying. And, you know, to an extent, my frustration, you know, it's like, you know, we could light up buildings with yellow and blue and we're in support of Ukraine. But at the end of the day, these folks need weapon systems. They need to break down bureaucracy and get every single, you know, piece of military equipment that they can feasibly get in there and let the Ukrainians go take this battle, to the Russians. There's been some successes, I think, with intelligence sharing. I think a lot of the training that has been done in the last, 8 years, the Ukrainian forces has helped and paid dividends. But this war is going to go on for a long time. So really maintaining these supply lines and then, really keeping the diplomatic structure of keeping the EU locked in, that they can't, walk away from this. This is their battle in the long term. I think Zelensky's been trying to make that point. Like, you think this is bad for us. This is going to be bad for you long term, and this is on your doorstep, just the way it was, back during World War II.
Mm-hmm. Do you think NATO really is closer because of this?
Because
of the war?
I think that there are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I think there's a few things there, because I don't think that militarily per se that the Russians could. I think how bogged down they've gotten and how many losses they've taken, this will impact them for some time, especially even in terms of, trying to get equipment replaced, with some of the Western sanctions that have now come in place. But again, China and others could be definitely helpful in that area. And then, like I said, secondarily, too, the way that the European economy is very intertwined from an energy perspective, they've got to get on their high horse to replace this. I mean, Germany's actions over the last 10, 20 years on, either shutting down nuclear power plants or, signing essentially gas infrastructure networks to bypass Ukraine and directly benefit Putin, are all, essentially we're seeing all the repercussions of that now. And so those actions have to happen. And that's where it also, you mentioned China earlier, where it gets tougher, where Russia is the economy is the smaller than the size of my old boss's Texas. China is beyond intertwined, not only with the U.S. economy, but especially throughout Europe. And that includes, ports and infrastructure.
My colleague has a question for you. Ed Davis, do you mind taking it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Dustin, I was just wondering real quickly, how long do you think before Putin is held in the same breath as basically Hitler?
Well,
or is he already there?
I think, my personal opinion, yeah, he's already there. I mean, this is a guy who has, zero acknowledgement of, one, the truth or facts on one end and life on the other. And I think, the pictures we've seen here in recent days, sadly, I'm not surprised about, and I think there's going to be a lot more horrific pictures coming out of places like Mariupol and other places as you know, as this war goes on and possibly ends at some point down the road. And so, you know, war is an awful, an awful concept by design, but he is of a brutal nature. I mean, this is a guy who has used chemical weapons and you know, weapons of mass destruction, essentially, in other countries. I mean, you know, you can say it wasn't a nuclear bomb that he dropped, but he injected, you know, people with radioisotopes, you know, that had crossed him. I mean, they have a history of assassinating people. I mean, they just don't operate by what we consider, into, you know, especially nowadays, you know, norms.
I tell you what, I think you're trying to say he's just not an all-around nice guy. I mean, this guy poisons people, isotopes them. They may have attacked a nuclear site of some sort intentionally, a chemical site, intentionally to release chemical into the air. That's what they're talking about. Do you think, final question, Dustin, do you think the Russian people are getting the truth some way because of the internet and the like?
I think it's really difficult. I do think that, you know, the variety of tools that are abundant, you know, nowadays, including, you know, VPN, circumvention technologies to get around, you know, a lot of the server issues. I mean, they've done everything to crack down. I mean, they've essentially kicked out any kind of Western technology or social media company. Their internet regulator is trying to essentially crack down on any kind of network traffic. The BBC, for the first time since 1991, are actually broadcasting, you know, 4 hours of English-based radio, shortwave radio coverage into Russia just to get around some,
wow,
you know, censorship tools. And so this is that's going to be the important thing. As I mentioned earlier, at the end of the day, the Russians have to understand this. Now, there's been you know, some recent polling, you know, who knows how credible that is, that, you know, Putin is, you know, generally people find, you know, it to be very popular. I mean, he's done everything in state media over there to label this operation as just a special military operation. Where that becomes more difficult, though, is the fact that you're talking thousands and thousands of Russian troops are either killed or maimed coming back home. And those are not easy things to cover up. And I think there's going to be a lot of long-term questions in the near term and long term of what political effect that has on Putin.
Really well. Well, Dustin, thank you so very much for coming on, sharing your thoughts on this. We really appreciate it. Maybe we'll talk again down the road.
Sounds good. Yeah, thank you.
All right, sir. Dustin Carmack, Heritage Foundation. Let's take our break. When we come back, the Miami Herald. Oh, what a lovely paper. They're going after Governor Ron DeSantis because he's connected himself with the Babylon Bee. Have you heard about that? It's kind of a conservative satire site. We're going to talk about it with the proprietor of the Barber Pole, Andrew Sorese.
When I get home, babe, gonna light your fire. All day I've been thinking about you, baby, my one desire.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Do you have trouble with communicating, or are you drowning in clutter? You are not alone. There is a solution. This is Christiana, your clarity coach. I can help you find the clarity you need, and it's easier than you think. Whether it's your communication, your mind, or your disorganized physical space, join me Wednesdays at 5 p.m. for Clarity Corner with Christiana, and let's do this together. Remember, that's Wednesdays at 5 p.m. on Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
On a Wednesday. Thank you so very much for being with us. Well, Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, continues to get under the skin of the Miami Herald. They have hated him from the moment he got into the White House. I'm thinking in the future. But from the moment he got into the governor's house in Tallahassee, the Herald slammed DeSantis for working with a, quote, fake news site after the governor's campaign committee spent thousands of dollars on fundraising help from the Babylon Bee. Now, I had not heard of the Babylon Bee. Ed, maybe you've heard of it.
Well, just the name, it doesn't give it a whole lot of credibility to begin with.
The Babylon Bee.
I knew a girl like that, Babylon Bee.
Yeah, she talked a lot, as I remember.
And none of it was true, but go ahead.
Yes, indeed. Well, so the Miami Herald says that the Babylon Bee is not credible. Well, it's supposed to be a political satire site. So, it comes out with things, and everybody knows it's making fun. But this gets under their skin. We got the proprietor of the Barber Pole with us, Andrew Ceresi. And Andrew, I know you have great affection for the Miami Herald. Have you ever heard of the Babylon Bee?
Heard of it. And I've read a few of the satires that come out every now and then on it, you know.
Okay.
But, you know, what can you expect from the Miami newspaper?
Yeah, they hate DeSantis. No matter what he does, they're going to attack him.
Paul, let's face it. 99.9% of the newspapers out there today are owned by Gannett, which is a
liberal
publication, a liberal publication. You know what I don't understand about Miami?
Yeah.
Okay, Miami's got to be what? 60, 70% Cubans?
A good portion.
Okay, what are they doing being Democrats?
I don't think Cubans are Democrats.
No, I mean, everyone I ever met.
They're all Republicans.
Right, they're all Republicans.
Yeah, Cubans are Republicans.
Life. I don't understand why is Miami the way Miami is.
Because there's a lot of other people, black and non-Cuban, that are still there that make up a goodly portion.
Okay, so say 40% are them.
Yeah.
You know, I don't understand that.
Well, I agree. And I think DeSantis, by the way, is the kind of guy that rallies even non-Cubans down there. So I don't know. I mean, I think, I don't think DeSantis has any issue with being reelected governor. Who the hell, you talk about refried bean or somebody that, you know, would run against him. There's nobody that's got any credibility. Hey, I got to ask you something. I shouldn't do this. I pick on poor Joe Biden. But did you see that Barack Obama showed up at the White House?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. Did you see how they all rallied around Obama after they, they turned off the mics? And did you see Biden wandering around by himself? I felt bad for him.
Yep. He was lost.
The poor guy was lost. I mean, really, literally. He was looking for somebody to talk to, and nobody wanted to talk to him. And it wasn't just in one instance. They showed a second instance where there was a crowd of people. They were crowding around Barack Obama, and Biden was kind of staring into space like he was a deer in the headlights.
Yep, there's no question about it. Well, he acted. You ever see people wandering the hallways of a nursing home, Paul?
Yes.
I've been in many, many nursing homes cutting clients' hairs that ended there.
You're right.
And you know, I walk in and I see these poor souls, and Joe Biden was just imitating him yesterday.
Yes. Yes. It was supposed to be a positive having Barack Obama show up, but when you can compare the two, it just makes Biden look worse. You know, it didn't work.
No question about it.
Yeah, it didn't work. So, meantime, we got all kinds of strange and crazy things going on. Is there anything else with our local politics that you want to talk about? How is District 13?
Tonight is the debate with the candidates, so I can't wait to see that.
Okay.
And we'll go from there.
Yep. You know,
things are just starting to warm up. And
yep. Who are the candidates? Would you, again, list? This is the Republican candidates for District 13, the Charlie Crist district.
Right. We've got Anna Paulina Luna.
Right.
Who moved here from California to try and get a seat to get into politics.
Okay.
We've got Christine Quinn. She's a native of Florida. Has been here for a while. She's a little bit older. She's trying to get this.
Now, you mentioned she sounds like a nice lady, but you don't give her much credibility, that Christine Quinn.
Right. Well, she is. She's a sweetheart of a lady, but as far as getting done what's got to be done, I don't think it's there.
Okay.
And then we got Amanda Mackey. And, you know, I like Amanda Mackey. She's a sweetheart, too. However, she's a lobbyist in Washington for a few years. She worked for Lisa McCluskey for a few years as an advisor to her.
So you don't trust these conservatives?
No, and she moved here, too, to try and get in District 13. I mean, her and Anna Pauline aren't even from here. And then we got Kevin Hassett, who's a 55-year native of Clearwater.
Right.
I mean, he could tell you where things were before it was built upon. He knows Clearwater inside and out, St. Pete being raised here. He's an attorney. He knows what's going on. He's very qualified for the job. And I believe that he'll get along with Ron DeSantis real well.
I would think so.
And I would like to see Kevin together with Ron DeSantis nailing Charlie Crist to the cross.
Yes. And maybe that will occur because...
no question about that.
Because Charlie is vacating the 13th District seat because he wants to run for governor again, something he had been as a Republican. And he's completely changed his spots since then. They actually considered him a conservative. They used to call him Chain Gang Charlie.
And I saw a picture of him addressing a crowd last night at one of his events.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't believe these people that are sitting there listening to him. I mean, what these older people that are Democrats, why don't they open up their minds and see that the Democrat Party isn't what it was 40 years ago when they were in their 40s? You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
And they don't get it out of their head. They think Democrat, Republican, it doesn't matter. We got to vote Democrat. It doesn't matter who or what they are. And I don't understand how these people think like this. Do you reach a certain age and just stop thinking?
You know, it has gone so far left. You would think that the older people would be more moderate and would vacate the Democratic Party. They wouldn't. They must not be thinking if they are going along with the far left ideas now of completely porous borders, you know, and all of these other things.
I don't understand.
Climate change nonsense.
And you know, there is no talking to them. Not whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Their mind is very, all they're focused on is that D word.
Yeah, but you gotta remember, Charlie Crist is a career criminal.
Well,
it's the same thing, career politician.
He's a career criminal, yes, he is.
And he's a smooth talker, and that's how he's kept himself in office.
Yeah.
He just tells you what you want to hear, and he walks off.
That's
and if,
right.
if you ask him a question he doesn't have the answer for, I got to go over there, there's a baby crying, I got to help that baby over there. That's how he's smooth, you know?
I thought I was a pretty smooth talker. Maybe I should run for politics.
I'm telling you.
You tend to be too blunt. I don't think you'd have a chance, Andrew. You tend to tell it like it is. Apparently, if you tell, I would think if you tell it like it is, people would respect you and vote for you, because they would go, this guy's not afraid to tell us what he thinks.
That's right, but the people are afraid of the truth, I think.
You know, that's what I'm wondering.
The American people are hiding under an umbrella right now, thinking America is America and we're free, but we're not. They need to see that this country is in a tailspin right now. I mean, the administration that's controlling this country is giving it away and destroying it.
Yeah.
Why don't people see it?
Well, because the media is a big help for that.
Oh, that's been huge.
You know, there's so many BS stories through the Trump years that have come out. No substance to them, but they just put them out anyway. And then when they find out they're not true, they just, you know, they don't print a retraction or let it go away. They just let it go away. Well, and they're going to do the same thing with DeSantis. Well, look what the bumbling bee down in Miami started.
Bumbling bee, I like that. Yeah,
whatever. No.
I gotta bring this up to you, Andrew. I think you'll get a kick out of this. You know, the Democrats are doing some sort of a hearing on electrifying the U.S. Postal Service, right? So it's a committee. So the Republicans said, we need to bring Hunter Biden in because he's an expert on this particular topic. We want to hear what he has to say about it. Democrats, of course, denied the motion to subpoena Hunter Biden on electrifying the U.S. Postal Service. This is Andy Biggs of Arizona. He made the motion. He said he'd like to hear from him because of what he called, quote, his invaluable expertise regarding cobalt mining.
You know, Paul.
Can you imagine? We got to get Hunter Biden up before a microphone.
Biden electrifying the post. Was that kind of like firing up an arsonist?
You know what I think of when you say electrifying the post office is some sort of execution, if you want to know the truth. I don't know what they mean by electrifying the post office.
You know, the post office has as much problems as this country does right now. They've never made a dime in I don't know how many years.
Yeah, they lose money.
They drain on the taxpayers' money, and all they deliver is trash.
Yeah.
You know, since all these private delivery companies have opened up, the post office doesn't deliver anything.
I think it's going to go completely over bust, and I think it should. I don't think you need the government running the delivery system anymore.
The only thing I get is the Winn-Dixie ad.
Oh, well, in that case, let's keep it going.
Houses, you know, and people want to buy my house. That's all I get in the mail.
Yeah.
But
that's right.
People got to realize, Paul, the country is falling apart. We all need to join together. And I think this country's in for a rude awakening, because I think the truth is coming out on this election. We're seeing how despicable Hillary Clinton and her entourage was for Russiagate. They're proving that Hunter Biden's email was true. The only thing I'm curious about, okay, is the big guy. Could the big guy be Barack Obama and not Joe Biden?
Yes, it could be, but I don't think so.
I mean, you know, how do these people, just like Stacey Abrams, when she ran for governor in the last election there a couple of years ago, that she didn't concede, she was worth $112,000. How is she worth $3.1 million now?
Isn't it amazing when you get into politics how you become a millionaire somehow? I mean,
I don't understand.
Joe Biden has been in politics his entire life. He owns three mansions.
That's right.
How do you do that on about $100,000+ a year? How do you own three mansions?
Same thing.
You gotta tell people what's going on.
He said the same thing about Trump, right? Didn't he lose money going into being a president?
Trump was the only one that's lost money.
Trump earned his money. He was he was a businessman. He just got into.
Oh, I know.
Let's answer the question on Biden. He's getting money from everybody in his family. He's getting a piece of the action. We all know
that.
We know when you pay hundreds of millions of dollars to Hunter Biden, that you know that Joe Biden is getting a piece.
I know, but I guess I'm not educated enough for whatever. I'm not fast enough, but I keep hearing out of the same mouth on a radio show how what a crook Trump was. He stole all this money while he's president. And then the other side of the mouth, on the next week, I hear how he's broke and he's lying about how much he's really worth, that he's broke. I don't know. Pick a side.
Yeah, I know. If they didn't have, they being the loony left, if they didn't have Donald Trump to go after, and, you know, they never go after what he did. They go after him because of his personality, or they go after him because they think years ago he might have cheated somebody in a business deal. That's when they go after him. But they never can come up with a way of going after him for what he did as president. Because what he did as president worked. But you ever notice that? They go after him as a person. Go ahead, Andrew.
They can't find anything that he did every time they go after him.
You're right. You're absolutely
right.
You
know what I'm saying? So they're doing, just like the January 6th committee, you know what millions of dollars are wasting to try and keep Trump from running?
I know.
Yep, that's all it is.
You know, and there were a bunch of Yahoos that wandered in there. You know, they wandered in.
Did.
They weren't out to hurt anybody. Did you see that?
Mixed in a little Antifa to take advantage of the situation.
But did you see them assaulting anybody?
No.
No. No, they went around. They sat in Nancy Pelosi's chair in the House. That, you know, they okay. So go after them for breaking in. I understand that, but don't say they were out to kill people. That was nonsense.
The ones that were out to destroy this country was Hillary Clinton and her administration. Comey, Brennan, Clapper.
Yep.
Look at the crimes they committed. They need to be put in jail.
Yep.
And I don't think the American public is going to be happy until we start seeing some arrests.
Speaking of that, Durham has got something from that guy Sussman. You know, the lawyer.
That's right. He lied.
They got him texting him. They got his text.
Good.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, my friend, it is always a pleasure to have you with us. I thank you again for being with us, and we're going to look forward to seeing you talking with you again on Friday.
Hey, Andrew, that flag fits right in.
It fits perfect.
Oh, my. That was made for that shop. Isn't it?
There you
it is a beautiful flag. I did see it.
Oh, okay.
I should have brought it up.
Well, swing by the shop after your show.
I will, my friend. Yeah. Yeah, thank you so much. Okay.
Have a good day.
You
Bye-bye.
Too, my friend. Yeah, yeah. That flag is beautiful. Love it. All right. Going to take our final break. When we come back, among other things, the top 10 presidents with the highest IQ.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcast Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcast Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
For the final segment, thank you for being with us on this Wednesday. Kind of humid out there right now. Starting to feel like Florida weather in April.
Don't get used to it.
Good. I hope
Sunday's barely going to hit 70.
Really?
Yeah.
That's good. I like that. It's going to be colder again, huh?
Yeah.
So, okay.
It's well, like global warming, you know.
Well, I'm sure that's what it is, sure.
Down on damn electric cars.
Oklahoma state lawmakers have voted to criminalize abortion. They approved a measure yesterday. It would make performing abortions a felony, punishable by up to 10 years behind bars. Now, the GOP-led House voted overwhelmingly to send it on to the governor, Kevin Stitt, who has pledged to sign it. It would make an exception only if the abortion was performed to save the mother. Doctors who perform the abortions would face a $100,000 fine in addition to the prison term. They said that the penalties would be for the doctor, not for the woman. Now, I think if you're going to have the doctor penalized, I don't know how you... I understand it doesn't look good, but the truth is, it's the woman that wants the abortion. And if you don't, if you're going to do that to the doctor, I think you got to seriously consider giving some sort of a penalty to the woman as well, to completely take her off the hook. Well, be honest.
He wouldn't be on the hook if she wasn't there.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that the woman goes there with the intent of having the abortion, and yet she doesn't get punished. Come on. Anyway, this is the strictest law of its kind in the country. The question is whether or not it would survive any kind of a Supreme Court ruling. The liberals are very worried that the Supreme Court will overturn Roe versus Wade. And it seems like different states now, Oklahoma, Texas a little bit earlier, has made abortion harder and harder to perform. So... very interesting. There you go. Before we get to our top 10, which we have with the presidents and their IQs, I just wanted to ask you, Ed, we're starting the baseball season, I think, tomorrow. Maybe not for the Rays.
No.
Are the Rays starting on Friday?
Yeah.
Okay.
Home game.
Any news on the home front for the Rays?
Well, here we go again. It's awfully confusing. You know, people don't wonder why. The ownership of the Rays wonders why the attendance is so bad. They just dumped one of the faces of the franchise in Austin Meadows, who is, you know, a lot of kids, a lot of jerseys out there and shirts of him. And you just, it's the dumb things that they say and do before playoff runs about the half in Montreal and half announcing that thing and then the ticket prices. And you wonder why people stay away.
Yeah.
Because how...
they don't seem to have any
you
real...
You were growing up, you had an idol as a baseball player.
Oh, yes,
and
I did.
You watched him every year.
Yes, I did.
But what, 3 years in and now he's gone?
True.
And maybe he needed to go. But I'm just saying, you wonder why these kids... They can't connect anymore because their player's gone.
That's a good point. I never thought of that. They don't stay around. They don't stay around long enough.
Although,
remember when we had Kevin? What is it, Longmire or whatever the third baseman?
Kiermaier. He's still here.
Not Kiermaier. Longsworth. You know, the third baseman for the Rays for so many years. The long, lanky third baseman.
Yeah, I know who you're talking
about.
Anyway,
he stayed around, and I think fans developed.
Yes, they started to.
But then, of course, he was gone too.
Yeah.
But you make a good point. About now, tell us about this guy you're talking about. What position?
Austin Meadows was
what is he?
Was basically the cleanup hitter. He's getting a lot of hits and very exciting. You know, producing a lot of home runs.
And what happened? They trade him.
Yeah, they traded him to Detroit.
Oh my goodness! Yeah. For somebody that else that, or money or what
prospect?
Prospect. Well, whatever they do, they always seem to land on their
feet. That's what I say. But I'm just saying, people wonder
no
loyalty.
Yeah, you can't establish
loyalty. This is part of the reason.
Right, okay. Time for our top 10. This is the top 10 presidents with the highest IQ. It comes from a psychologist at UC Davis, Dean Simonton. So here we go, number 10.
Hello, that's the band.
Yeah, got on the wrong stool there, Ed. James Garfield. He was assassinated, by the way, but his IQ was 152.3. Number 9, Teddy Roosevelt. Oh, yeah, good old give him hell, Teddy. 153. Number 8, our second president was very smart, John Adams, 155. Number 7, the president we had during World War I, Woodrow Wilson, 155.2. Mm. Wow. Number 6, I find this one hard to believe, but they got him down this way. Jimmy Carter, 156.8. Actually, Jimmy Carter was pretty smart. He was he graduated from Annapolis, and he had nuclear background. So I understand that. Number 4. I'm at number 5. Do you think Bill Clinton should be considered a high IQ president, Ed? I would say so.
Okay, we'll go with that.
I think 159 for Slick Willie. All right, number 4.
Sure didn't know how to lie.
Yeah, you know, it does take some intelligence to try. Although when you say it depends on what the meaning of is.
Define sex.
Yeah, really. number 4 is John Kennedy. Yeah, 159.8. Wow. Number 3. The guy that wrote the Declaration of Independence, Thomas Jefferson. He had all kinds of different things that he was a silversmith, you know. Anyway, 160 IQ. Number 2. Speaking of guys that write documents, the guy that wrote the Constitution, oversaw it, James Madison. He also had an IQ of 160. All right.
Well,
I know you'll not get it, but it was. You have to go back to the Founding Fathers.
So when you were alive, but go ahead.
I was only a kid. John Quincy Adams, 175.
Wow.
Now, that was the son of John Adams, the eldest son of President John Adams. He won the 1824 election, became the 6th president of the United States.
Hmm.
All right.
By the name Evan Longoria was the one name we were looking for.
Yes, thank you. Evan Longoria. Where is he? Is he still playing ball?
San Francisco.
Is he playing?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, thanks so very much. We will be back on Friday. Please remember, freedom works.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Steve Kathan. New moves by the U.S. as calls grow for a war crimes trial aimed at Russia.
Attorney General Merrick Garland says the U.S. is working with international partners to collect evidence of alleged war crimes, but stopped short of calling for